Blog Talk Radio.
And we would like to welcome you again to Africa on the Move. As we tell our people, we will claim no easy victory, but we will tell no lies. Today we're going to be speaking truth to power, and we're going to deal with the subject area of capitalism. That's right, the forgotten C word, capitalism. Our theme tonight is capitalism and enslavement, a weapon of mass destruction. And to discuss with us the subject tonight, we have two guests, Brother Haki of the African Women's Association and Sister Kit Epscrite from Denmark. First and foremost, we'd like to welcome our guests to Africa on the Move. Welcome, Kit and Brother Haki.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Lee?
Okay. What we want to do first and foremost for our audience, let's give them a conception-wise, philosophical working definition of what is capitalism. Kit, can you give us a definition, a working definition of what capitalism is from your perspective?
Well, capitalism is a way of making money out of other people's work. And the more people you can make work for you, the more money you can get. This is just a very short version. I know there's a more scientific way of explaining it, but a way of creating money out of other people's work.
Okay, Brother Haki, give me your working definition, capitalism.
The capitalist would define it as an individual who controls the means of production of society. In other words, it is only the individual best can decide how to use the resources, you know, of the planet. The fallacy is that because you're thinking individualistically, you don't think about the collective. The focus is on the individual. And of course, when you think about the individual, the propensity to do things that are self-destructive and harmful increases. So capitalism, in a nutshell, is the rapid exploitation of human beings and resources.
Okay, but before we get any further, we want to qualify our two guests today in terms of, I know there are many people who listen to the program saying, who are these individuals talking about capitalism? What gives y'all the right to talk about capitalism? So I'd like for y'all to respond to the question, what gives y'all the right to talk about capitalism and share with our audience a little bit about who you are? Start with you, Sister Kit.
Well, capitalism is a worldwide system, and everybody can talk about it. You don't have any need to have any qualifications to do that, because it's really worldwide. And since it is, affects all of us, we can talk about it. You know, everybody can talk about it.
As a political organizer, Kit, we recognize you from Denmark. What made you come to the U.S. and talk a little bit about your political history as a political organizer? Say briefly to our audience.
Yeah, I've been interested in the political prisoners, especially those from the United States. There are maybe four countries in the world that have many political prisoners. One of them is the United States. Another one is China, and then there's Turkey and Israel, and those countries have a large number of political prisoners, and they have a large number of prisoners, and the United States is having the largest prison population of any country. It is now about 2.4 million people in prison, and about 4 million people in the prison system. That means they are either on probation or not allowed to vote because they're waiting for their trial. So that's a large number of people. And to compare it, I mean, 4 million in Denmark, there are 5 million people. So this is almost the size of the population of Denmark.
Okay, Brother Haki, just share a little bit about your political background, some of the work that you have done, and then we'll move forward to our theme tonight, capitalism and enslavement, a weapon of mass destruction. Just tell a little something about you, Brother Haki, and your political activity.
Yeah, well, I've been involved in political struggle for over 28 years, And so while that doesn't make you uniquely qualified to question capitalism, it does sensitize you to a lot of the irony that exists with respect to capitalism. One of the things I think that in terms of talking about capitalism, I think most people are experts. I think when you look at the situation like in terms of housing, you look at a situation like health care, you look at a situation like even have access to a job, all those are questions that are peculiar to capitalism. And often we find that even when we bring up those variables in the context of capitalism, we understand there's extreme disparities between those at the top as the 1% versus the 99% of the people in the country. And if you extrapolate, and if you look at the situation around the world, this injustice is not only extended to those in the United States, but also to those around the world. So in essence, on the street level, you could say that in terms of being screwed, it's not just American, quote-unquote, citizens who are being screwed, but the world community, in fact, was being screwed by capitalism.
Okay, I'd like for both of y'all to respond to the statement I'm going to make as it relates to capitalism. And the statement I'm making at this point is that capitalism has been the weapon of mass destruction. Under capitalism, more people have died under capitalism, or capitalism has been contributed to more deaths of human beings since the dropping of an atomic bomb in 1945. Do y'all agree with that, disagree with that? How would y'all speak to that statement? Start with you, Brother Hackey.
That's a very tough question, Brother Lee. A very, very tough question. If you start from the premise of, say, 1715, then clearly the number of people who have been subjected to capitalism injustice and who will actually pay with their lives, you're probably talking about maybe 100 million, maybe billions of people in terms of directly being impacted by capitalism. Because keep in mind that when U.S. first evolved, the whole idea was for people to come from England to create an alternative to what was happening in England at the time. But what happened was that those same people who came from England who established the colonies here in the United States actually turned out and became more ruthless and exploitive than the individuals that they left. In other words, they became much more exploitive than the English themselves. And so then you had a unique kind of capitalism, much more exploitive, much more ruthless, much more extensive in terms of the number of people who are damaged by capitalism. So to answer your question, Brother Lee, in terms of just theoretically, you would imagine, and this is something that I'm definitely have to go back and look at, but you're probably talking about hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people who are actually being destroyed by capitalism.
Sister Kit, let me get your response to this statement.
Well, I would say that capitalism is closely related to the wars, you see, because this is a way of making money. You can make weapon and you can kill people. And you've seen, so many wars since World War II. There's been continuously wars going on everywhere in the world. And this is really mass destruction. And so many people are killed, and they developed the wars into. They got new technology, and now they can make wars with drones, so they won't kill so many Americans, and they just kill the people they want to kill.
Yeah, since
closely related to the ongoing wars.
Okay, since the late 14th century to the early 15th century, we know that capitalism evolved probably during that time period. And during that same time period, that was a parallel of the development of the international slave system. And based upon my understanding of African history, one of the first things that capitalism did to human beings, particularly African people, they enslaved them. They enslaved them. And from the enslavement, all kind of industries came about, from the insurance industry, the industrial revolution industry, finance industry, you name it, the health industries. All of these industries came about as a result of capitalism. what I would like for y'all to do at this stage is to talk a little bit about capitalism in terms of its values and principles and how it really distort or deter a people development. Brother Hackey?
Well, I think for the premise that when you talk about capitalism, it would be very, very clear that the question is all about, it's all about the bottom line, or as capitalism would say, productivity. In other words, it's all about the reaping of money. And the question is that, you know, in the pursuit of this money, how do you go about doing it? Now, one of the things that would hinder your progress in terms of achieving or getting or bringing in large sums of money is the more humanitarian approach. There's simply no money in humanity. So what you want to do is create a system of exploitation, a system which people are programmed, people are conditioned to accept the way things are. So therefore, if I can take the resources of the planet and use them for my own good, I can turn around and say, employ you for $5 an hour. Okay? Now, of course, with $5 an hour, the question is, can you take care of yourself? Of course not. I mean, where are you going to live? What are you going to eat? I mean, those are all human questions. Capitalism doesn't concern itself with human questions. It concerns itself with the bottom line. Now, one of the things that's interesting, when you look at Adam Smith, the so-called father of Western capitalism, Adam Smith also understands the shortcomings of capitalism in the sense that he understands the cruelty, the exploitation that goes along with capitalism and destruction that goes along with it. And as such, he realized that government has to have a social safety net in order to protect capitalism from itself. What we have now is a bunch of leaders, including Barack Obama, who simply unleashed capitalism, unfettered capitalism, which, you know, they're simply free to employ their worst impulses in the pursuit of money. And as a consequence, we see a situation like in Iraq, where they invade for no reason, where they lie, despite millions of people in the United States coming out protesting against that aggression. You got people who empowered the military industrial complex to actually go to Iraq, literally destroy one of the most advanced societies in the Middle East, destroy, and then turn around and loot it for its oil. And now what happens is that the Western governments are doing well in terms of control of the Iraqi oil. Now, the issue is, what are the benefits to the people in terms of this aggression against Iraq? Does the price of oil go down? Does the price of gasoline go down? Of course not. It doesn't. Because it's not about the collective, it's about the individual. Now, individual capitalists are making a killing off the destruction of tens of millions of people in Iraq. They're selling oil for cheap, but they're selling it at exorbitant rates. So therefore, in terms of their profit margin, they're making hundreds and hundreds of millions of hours per hour, hundred millions of dollars per hour. So making a tremendous amount of money, but it doesn't impact on the average citizen in the country nor the world. And so therefore, we got to understand that capitalism is not only destructive. But it can only maintain that to the extent that there's a certain amount of collusion in terms of the people, you know, in the United States, throughout the world, who support such a system.
Sister Kit, when we talk about capitalism, the three P's comes to mind, and those P's are profit, privatization, and prison. Can you speak to the correlation between those three factors and how they work under capitalism? Privatization, and prison.
Talk about enslavement. There are probably more people enslaved than there were when slavery existed. And you know, the slavery in the United States were abolished in 1864, but today there are other forms of slavery. And the best example I can give is the Angola prison in Louisiana. It used to be a slave plantation with a lot of slaves picking cotton. And today, the plantation is a prison. And there are a lot of prisoners picking cotton. And none of them are allowed to leave the plantation. Today, they get about 2 cents an hour to pick cotton in prison, but the slaves, of course, didn't get anything. That's the only difference. And when we talk about the number, there are more prisoners today There are more black men in prison than there were ever slaves in the United States. So this is just another form of slavery. And there's a lawyer, he's called Michelle Alexander, who wrote the book The Mutiny, about the prison system, about how so many people are in prison because of they're being charged with minor offenses like having a little drug or, you know, not very much, but they're kept in prison forever and more. And this the prison population has just exploded.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about some of these so-called pillars of capitalism or tenets of capitalism and the illusion of them if they really exist under the capitalist system. This question is directed to you, Brother Hackey. I want to talk about freedom of information, freedom of thought, this question of free media. Under the capitalist system is my understanding that people have capital or have the capacity to means to get information out. Basically, they're the ones who are given the chance to express their ideas. Is there or can there be truly a free press within any capitalist system? And if so or if not, explain the contradiction there, Brother Hackey, to the people.
Well, no, there's it's a misnomer. There's no such thing as a free press in the context of the capitalist system, because the focus is not on information. The focus is on control. And one of the things when we talk about the media, this whole discussion is dynamic between objectivity and realism. There are two different things. Objectively, you report things as they are, and realistically, you report the things that are told to you. So therefore, the real schisms exist in terms of media, but that exists because the people in control, those who have the capital, the capitalists, they control the message. And so therefore, if they control the message, why in the world would they want to create a message which is palatable to the masses of people, which actually actually educate people in terms of what's really going on? They don't want to do that. If you want a steady market of individuals, you know, you can manipulate, you can use for your purposes, then one of the things you want to do is you want to condition them, and that's what you want to do. So you want to give them messages that they will accept. You can teach and tell them that they're free, even though materially, even though politically, socially, you know, you're limited in terms of what you can do because you don't have capital. But tell the people that they're free, and a lot of people will begin to believe that. You got a school system that reinforces the notion of being free. And so you ask the average American, are you free? You say, yes, we got freedoms. And you ask them what are the freedoms, and they look at you like, what are you talking about? They can't even tell you what the freedoms are, but they tell you they're free. Because they heard that's the kind of rhetoric they've been exposed to all their life, and that's all they know, and that's all they think they know. When you go by ask the average American, what is capitalism? What is socialism? They tell you, oh, that's bad. That's bad. Okay, can you define people what socialism is? No, but they know it's bad. And so, therefore, this is direct impact in terms of media and the kind of messages that people are exposed to. And this is the reason why people are exposed to this. You want a situation where, in the capitalist world, which everything is a market. Everything is a marketplace. Now, in the terms of people's ability to work, now, if you got this notion that work somehow should benefit you, then you're no use to the capitalists. The capitalists, work don't benefit you per se. Work benefits the capitalists, and that's what people have to understand. And so, therefore, this notion in terms of collusion that exists with the media, it's just that it's collusion. None of this stuff is real, and it's up to individuals in America and throughout the world to educate themselves to understand truly what is going on in terms of capitalism.
Okay, another pillar of attention of capitalism that they often espouse throughout the world is that they have a society to have freedom to vote, freedom to choose. Now, if capitalism is based upon one's ability to give input or make decisions in society based upon their wealth or their capital, as they say, to Sister Kent, can you talk a little bit about this question of the illusion of freedom to vote and make choices as it relates to the interests of the masses of people in a capitalist society?
Yes, there are so many people in the United States that doesn't vote, and either because they don't want to vote, or they have not registered to vote, or because they are not allowed to vote. And as I talked before about the large prison population, all those people in the prison system, and that is about 4 million people, are not allowed to vote for the rest of their life. Even if you had a small conviction, you will be a felon for the rest of your life, and you're not allowed to vote. And you're not allowed to get public housing. Maybe you're not allowed to get food stamps. So you are victimized, and you are shunned from society. And that is a large number of people. And then you can talk about the electoral system. Is that freedom that you can only vote for two candidates?
You talk about where these candidates come from? Are they really choosing the people? Or is there a certain hidden structure? Choose people, give people that a choice of their illusion of choosing someone.
Yeah, as I said, you can, well, the election of the president is coming up, and you can only vote for two. I mean, maybe you don't like to choose any of those two, but this is not possible. You have those choices that are not really a choice because they're both for the system. They don't want to change the system.
You know, recently, some information was shared with me about pharmaceutical industry. And I believe the young man told me something like over 600 billion pills are taken on a daily basis. Over 600 billion pills are taken on a daily basis. And when you talk about medicine, you talk about the development of diseases, I thought the concept of a disease is something that you can cure. But seems to me on the capitalist system, there's no incentive to cure diseases based upon that, since the whole bottom line is they want to make profit. If they are making this kind of money in terms of people taking pills, Brother Haki, do you think there will ever be a time where the pharmaceutical company will create the climate where people will be pill-free and diseases will become? And if not, what is it about capitalism that make it keep its behavior in terms of not allowing people to be fully healthy?
Well, it's all about markets. Now, if you're going to make billions and billions of dollars on prescribing medication, why would you want that to stop? After all, it's all about responsibility to shareholders. It has something to do with humanity. It has something to do with the health of human beings. It has something to do with any of that stuff. It only has to do with profitability. And so, therefore, you know, of course, you know, by denying people legitimate health care denying people the actual reason behind their medical problems in the first place is very, very profitable. One of the things is that we have to understand is that a lot of these sicknesses, a lot of these illnesses that people have, they're conditioned and programmed to believe in the fact that it's a medical problem. If you feel tired, there's a pill for you. If you don't want to get a bit of morning, there's a pill for you. If you can't go to sleep at night, there's a pill for you. So it's constantly the drum is constantly getting beat, you know, for more and more pharmaceuticals. And of course, in the process, of course, who benefits? The pharmaceuticals benefit billions and billions of dollars. And it seems to me that at what point do people begin to realize, you know, that a lot of these things they perceive as ailments, these things that they are told are ailments, are in fact part and parcel to the conditions in which they live. It's a very chaotic, very problematic, very stressful condition people are subjected to under capitalism. And so pills serve to mask the kind of pain that people are feeling. And that's why you get billion, billions of dollars. But just in terms of pharmaceuticals, just antidepressants alone is a $10 billion a year market in the United States. Not the world, just in the United States. Now, something is seriously wrong when, in order for people to exist, they got to take antidepressants. But it's part and parcel of the capitalist system in terms of the degradation, dehumanization, demonization of human beings. So until human beings understand precisely what is happening, you know, and reject this notion that somehow this pill is going to cure you, these people are going to continue to reap huge sums and sums of money. And it's just that simply.
Okay. In terms of this question of looking at the present conditions, what's going on around the world, but even more particularly what's going on inside the border of the United States, there's a struggle that is going on around this question of public education and private education. There seems to be a movement of trying to get rid of public education and privatizing it. How does that fit in the schemes of things for the capitalist class in any given society, Sister Kit?
Well, if you privatize, you make a profit of something that is necessary for human beings. I mean, the school system is, you know, it's necessary and it should be state-owned, but when you can make money out of it, you can privatize it and make charter schools instead of public schools. And this is just a way of making money.
Okay, Brother Aki, can I get your response to that also?
Well, and as far as the capitalist class is concerned, there are those who are worthy of education and those who are not worthy of education. They've been arguing for the longest time that education should be paid for, and actually, education should reflect social standing. In other words, when you look at the history of the United States, only those with money should have access to education. Those who firmly believe that only those with money should have access to education. But there's a second part, that is mainly in terms of the kind of individuals that you want to produce. One of the things is that as society continues to deteriorate, and make no mistake about it, and for those who don't understand, capitalism has been in deterioration since the late 60s, and it continues to deteriorate, and it's just a question of time. And then the capitalist class understands that. And so therefore, enlightened people, educated people is what you don't need. You need people with a certain amount of knowledge, but not enough knowledge to challenge the system, because they feel like by keeping people ignorant, that there's longevity in terms of the system. So if you've got this large number of people who are not educated, then of course the low wage jobs, they can fill the low wage jobs. But those people who are technocrats, those people who are doctors and lawyers, of course, because given the kind of education they receive, they're ill-equipped intellectuals to actually deal with the kind of system, the system that's in place. And so what happens is you can have fine people who are conditioned to be loyal to their own exploitation, their own subjugation. And so for the capitalists, it's very, very important to create people who think a particular way. This whole notion in terms of public education versus private education is a means of doing that. People equate private education with better education. Not necessarily so. Private education doesn't equate to being able to think, being able to think critically, to think analytically. It doesn't equate to that. But what it does do is it teaches you to speak well. It teaches you to articulate your platitudes, but does something in terms of making you clearly understand, you know, how society works and some of the real dangers that are associated with this capitalist society. So therefore, the capitalists are doing this because for them it's a necessity. And this is what it's all about, Lee.
Okay, in closing, I got each one of y'all limit your statement about to 30 to 45 seconds. If capitalism is the weapon against the masses of the people, what alternatives do the masses of the people have in order to improve their lives? Just give me a general response. What would you say to the people? 30 seconds, Sister Kit.
Well, I would say, you know, start with your problems. If you have any problems and that you can address in your community, that's the place to start and organize people around it. It could be not to have private schools and keep the public schools. It could be any subject that is important to people. And but you have to organize it, or else, you know, It will disappear. And this is so important for all of us, that we need to be active, we need to organize about the questions that are in our community. And this is the way to start. And you can start anywhere, everywhere that there are problems. So you don't need transportation. You don't need.
Okay, Sister Kim, we've got to stop you. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We'd like to thank everybody for listening to the program today. We'll be on tomorrow night at 11:30 p.m. Until next time, let's continue to strive to go forward and backward. Thank you for watching Africa on the Move.